Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Luke chapter 18. I want to share this morning, if I could, for a few minutes. How many of y'all give me about, 15 minutes? I do want you to look in the Bible. I want us to talk a little bit this morning on this Memorial Day, simply about an area of prayer. And that is, there are three things I want us to look at on prayer, if you don't mind today, because I think we need all of them. One of them is to learn to pray for yourself. How many of you know you need some prayer? Well, let me back up and see, some of y'all are so sanctified you don't get it. Because you understand, well, I'm born again. I don't need to pray for me. We're going to get some help this morning. It's going to hurt your feelings because even Jesus called his A-team and said, you boys need to be careful. He wasn't talking to the Sanhedrin. He wasn't talking to the tax collectors. He wasn't talking to the prostitutes. He wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to his chosen 12. He was talking to the A-team and said, you boys better be awake. You find the same thing repeated in Ephesians chapter 5 when Paul's writing. He's not writing to the jailer. He's not writing to the people on the streets. He's writing to the church. And the book of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, you better be alert. You better be awake. I'm helping you right now, folks. Jesus is coming. The enemy hates us, and you better be awake. You're not beyond temptation. Your marriage isn't safe because you got married in a church. Your marriage will be safe because every day you get up, you pray for it. Amen? Your walk with the Lord isn't going to be good if you don't get up and do something about it. Sitting around and talking about your salvation in the past tense is not going to give you victory. We got to have something that's current with us. So I want us to look, if you don't mind, to Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. And let's look at praying for ourselves. Luke 18, 1. And these are familiar. This isn't going to be deep. This is water you can tread this morning. Look in Luke chapter 18, if you don't mind, in verse number 1. This is very interesting to me, is Jesus and his dealing with prayer. And this is what I want us at least to get a hold of. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray, and here's your key word, and don't lose heart. If you read Paul's writings, I love Paul because he just didn't quit. If you read in Paul's writings, he doesn't give up. He doesn't lose heart. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 1:20, I think it is 1:20, where Paul says, this is going to go according to my expectations. In other words, I'm not quitting. He was in prison writing to the Philippian church, and he told them very straight up. He just said, hey, I'm not quitting. I'm in this thing, but I've got great expectations. How many of you know that you can be in a prison and have great expectations? You can be in a hard time. You can be in a situation, a lurch in your marriage. You can be in hard times financially, and it doesn't mean God's quit on you, and it certainly doesn't mean we give up. You need to nudge someone next to you and say, don't quit now. Yeah, how many of y'all understand you can't quit? How many of y'all run races? Anybody ever run a race or, done something? I know, Wendy, I wasn't asking you. You're not going to break a sweat. She said, I'm a Southern girl, I glisten, I never sweat. Well, if you've ever run a race or you've played a ball game or whatever, it always comes down to the last. And what I learned in running back when I used to run, when I was running, and I did run some 17, I didn't run sub-17, but I ran some 17-minute 5Ks. That's not bad for an old guy. I'm just saying. Well, I was, wasn't old then. I was still 40 close to it, 30-something. Well, okay, maybe I was. I'm just saying, I don't need the Holy Spirit to give me revelation. My wife is full of it this morning. One of the things I learned about running a race, is this. What you put on the front of it, you take off the back of it. What, are y'all tracking me? If you're a runner, you know you're taught this. It becomes, and if you don't get taught, your body will tell you. Some of y'all couch to 5Ks. What you put on the front end of it, you'll take off the back end of it. In other words, if I get up and I run as hard as I can the first mile, I will tell you now, I will run slower the last half or the last quarter. The reason is I put it out on the front end of it. And the kingdom of God works very similar to that. It's interesting to me, when we first got saved, we telling everybody about Jesus, right? Listen, you didn't need Romans Road. We get in church and say, we're going to have a class on witnessing. Let me help you right now. Get saved. get saved, and you don't need Romans Road. You will tell your story. How many of you know that people would rather hear your story than you getting up trying to thump a Bible at them? They'd rather hear you say that you got born again, that you got changed by the power of God. It's not hard to do. Same way in running, we in the Christian faith, we start off, we're telling everybody at work about Jesus. They laughing at us, and they don't believe us, and we don't care because we got born again to the bone, and we're telling everybody. But you get down the road, and what you put on the front end of it, you lose it on the back end of it. And I'm preaching to somebody this morning because I texted two of our two pastors in the other churches this morning. I told Gabriel and Marcus, I said, there's someone in the room you're preaching to today that needs exactly what you're saying. And I believe that this morning that I'm not preaching to someone in here that just has a closed heart. I believe there's someone in here that started out with great flash and a great anointing, but you're toward the end of this and you're slowing down and you're giving it up and you're laying it aside. And Sonny and Linda and I have talked a little bit about this, and Sue, just about the Pentecostal experience that it seems like many charismatic or Pentecostal churches today are ushering the Spirit of God to another place so they don't look flaky to the world. And I'm just going to tell you right now, we are going to praise God, and we are going to preach the word, and we're going to pray. Amen? We're just going to do it. I don't want to get to the end of this and be running slower than I was when I started. I like what Paul said. He said, my outside's fading, but the inside's growing stronger every day. The outside's fading, but the inside's getting... Say, the inside's getting stronger. Tell somebody next to you, say, I'm strong on the inside. Oh, baby, you're stronger than you're talking right now. There's something in you that God wants to do in a special way, and we're going to release that. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, don't quit and don't give up. Now, this other verse I read, I don't know how the rest of y'all do in reading the Bible. There are times I read it, I wish I hadn't seen that. Like the great theologian Mark Twain, he said something like this. He said, it's not what I don't know about the Word of God that bothers me. It's about what I do know and I'm not doing. So I'm just saying, when I read and I find something, I think, oh, I could have just read over this one. This is one I've read a lot. Maybe you've done the same thing. But look in the 21st chapter of Luke, Jesus talking about prayer. And he says this, it just blows me away. We're going to begin at verse number 34. But take, now I've got New King James. I also have Amplified with me. I know Linda's got New American Standard. So we may get some words out of this. I want you to look at this in verse number 34. Now Jesus is talking. If you're a Bible marker, you're taking some notes, you might want to mark in there somewhere a team, because he's not talking to the world. He's not talking to sinners. By the way, Barbara Buttles isn't here this morning. Their family, I don't see any of them in here this morning. She's doing much better. She had had a problem not long ago. And I'll just tell you this, not that we're trying to sell them, because we don't sell our DVDs or our CDs of the services. We just give them away. But we do ask you to write down which ones you want, so we just don't make a mess of them that don't get gone. So there is out on that little table a blue card that you can fill out if you want any CDs, and they're free. We don't charge you for them. And the reason I'm saying this is Barbara Buttles, Michael showed me a card this morning from Barbara Buttles, and she filled hers out, and she said all of them. Each week. So she's ahead of the game. Look in this verse. But take heed to yourselves. And if you just need to watch it here. You may have another translation. Does someone have another translation? Now, take heed is kind of like old school. Does anyone have another translation? Watch yourself. Be on guard. Be careful. Are y'all tracking me on this? Jesus is talking to the A team. He's talking to the 12. He's talking to the disciples. And the reason I want you to get that is because we pawn these scriptures off on sinners and tell them, y'all better be careful. Listen, they're not going to be anything but what they are. We're the ones that have got to be careful. And it's throughout the New Testament. I've talked to other people. Every one of the writings, whether it's Peter or whether it's Paul writing or John writing, they're all telling us, watch yourself. Why is it when we get up in church like this and we're in a service like this and a preacher gets up and says, you need to watch yourself, we're going to say, oh, he's being legalistic. Look at me, let me tell you something. I'm not being legalistic. I'm telling you that Jesus says, watch yourself. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you've already been jacked up this week. There's some of you right now. Oh, I know I'm right. There's some of you right now that got hijacked this week in your faith, in your hope. You got hijacked in your attitude. You got hijacked in your heart, in your mind. You couldn't keep your eyes off that pornography or off that woman. Oh, we don't get a lot of amens, all right? Look at me, let me tell you something, boys. Just because your wife doesn't know doesn't mean God doesn't know. And the reason I'm bearing down on this is I had a phone call this week from someone I love. This brother called me because we have a relationship. And he said, I need to confide in someone that loves me and pray for me. I said, do it. And he said, the other night, I was 9:30 at night, my wife had already gone to bed, and he said, I had my computer out, and I wasn't tired, so I just got on the computer, and I was, you know, just kind of goofing off, and I went to the Freaks of Walmart, or whatever it's called. They probably take a picture of my family in Walmart. But not this family. Mama's people, those Arkansas folks. But he was on the computer, and he said, Pastor, I was just on the computer, and I was watching that, and then what came up in it is someone, you know, kind of showing some cleavage. I guess y'all understand what that is. I don't explain it, right? And when it got to there, and I just kept going. Now, he said, I didn't get to what we would consider hardcore pornography, but he said, I took in more than I should have seen. Now, I'm going to help y'all right now. You're going to think, well, now you're mad at him and you're hurt with him and you don't want him in a position. Let me tell you what I think. I think he is deserving a position because he knows what it is to be amenable. And I'm going to help you on this. If you keep quiet about the junk you're doing in the dark, eventually somebody's going to cry it from a housetop. You better get rid of it now. I'm just saying, get rid of it early. Man, one time I was at the house and I was going to go to a place called Gun Blast. Anybody ever been there? Gun Blast? Okay. Y'all don't buy guns or trade them. All right. So I was looking to buy a particular rifle, and I wanted to find out about it, Leonard. So I went to Gun Blast, and these two old boys on there, you kind of redneck-looking guys, they shoot these guns, and they write a blog about it and tell you about them. I went to Gun Blast, and when I did, I just went there on my computer, and it started throwing up naked women and sexual acts. And I'm not talking about one. If anybody's ever accidentally got into something like this, Casey, they just kept coming, just layering on there. And I tried to X them out. I was screaming like a girl. I'm serious. I'm in the house screaming like a girl, y'all, saying, Sue, come here quick. She's back in the back of the house. I said, why do you want? I said, come see this. I got up and ran my computer to her, my laptop. I said, look at this. She said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know, and I can't get out of it. I can't X out of it. I just want you to know that I'm not a pervert. Now, I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'd rather get rid of it right then. Get done with it right then. Let somebody be amenable with me right then to know what's going on than for me to get down the road in 6 months and somebody get on my computer and look in the history somehow. I don't know how you do all of that, but they say it's all in there. And see that, well, the pastor's been on pornography. I'm just saying. When I saw it, and then, stupid as I am, I'm just not a tech guy, right? Now, I like to read the Bible, and I love some technical stuff, but I'm not good at it. So, but my son Gabriel and that whole group of young pastors, they're just tremendous. And Charlie's good. So we got this whole group that really do that. I'm at the office. We're having a meeting with the pastoral staff, Sonny. Don't ever do this. We're having a meeting. Sonny's gone. Oh, there he is back there. Pastoral staff. And I'm in there. And I said, boys, I'm going to tell y'all what I did at the house. I did just what I did to y'all. They laughed at me, called me, you know, cowboy and old school and everything but stupid. And I said, well, let me just show you what I did. Right. That's why I did it. Everybody would say, no, I didn't do it for that. I did it. This is going to be a long service. Y'all need to go ahead and get your lunch. Stay, really. So I didn't think it would happen again. I sat down, and it was some kind of virus or bug that got attached to that page. I'm telling y'all, I sat down, I did Gun Blast one more time, and if it didn't start throwing that stuff up, I opened that computer up, and I got away from it. I said, look at that thing's got a devil or whatever. And of course, the guys, help me get away from it. And they laughed at me again. Here's all I'm saying. The Word of God makes it clear. Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts, listen to this, lest your hearts be weighed down. Listen to the verbiage here, with carousing. Now, here's another translation for carousing, because sometimes we don't understand it. This is the Amplified Bible. Lest your hearts get overburdened and depressed, weighed down with giddiness, headaches, and the nausea of self-indulgence. Now, the New King James just says carousing. When I saw carousing, I thought, that ain't me. I'm not running around. Then I looked it up in the Amplified Bible, and I thought, maybe that is me. Y'all don't want to amen me, but some of y'all in the same boat. Giddiness and the headache and the nausea of self-indulgence. I'm going to be honest with you right now. You can have hobbies that'll take you from Jesus. Good stuff take you from Jesus. Hunting, fishing, art. Good things take you from Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something else. Your future ain't your future if you're not connected to Him. And if what you're doing is taking you from Him, I don't give you much hope for down the road. Because I've learned a long time ago on just watching TV that people with $1 billion are going to hell. So money is not the remedy to a soul sick. Amen? It's always going to be the Lord. So I'm just helping you out right here. Don't get weighed down with just self-indulgence. Your hobbies is a good example. My wife, amen, twice on that one. Amen. And here's another. Drunkenness. Now, you're going to think that ain't going to happen to us until you look around the churches. There are things that go on inside churches that just blow me away in the day we're living in. One of the issues right now, we've talked a little bit about this, and I don't want to belabor it, but it bothers me. Like yesterday, the men were all out the house, half a dozen, seven, eight, whatever it was, out the house, and we were shooting skeet, like you said, letting them all go, I think. I shot what I was supposed to shoot, and I was just throwing them, trying to get them to hurry up and hit one. But how many of y'all shot my gun because you thought it was a gun and not me? That's what I thought. So we're out at the house yesterday, and one of the guys, matter of fact, it's probably Troy that said, I can't remember, someone said it. We were just talking about the world and what's going on, and said on the ABC Family Channel, they're going to have a new program, a new series coming out called Foster. ABC Family Channel has a new series called Foster that's coming out. It's about two lesbian homosexuals that are married, and it's how they're adopting a child. Now, I get that on something else, but it bothers me big time on ABC Family Channel. The word Family Channel bothers me that this gets plugged in. You're going to say, why does that worry you? It worries me big time because we got kids that are formative and still trying to figure life out. We got parents that don't want to say that this is wrong and this is wrong and setting some kind of boundaries for them. And I'm just saying, if it comes up on family TV, there ain't nobody there that's turning it off after 9 o'clock at night. This thing is going to operate. Family TV means you can get it in the daytime, prime time, and your children will be learning how that they can live a homosexual lifestyle and be happy and have kids. And all I'm saying is this, we got huge problems we're dealing with, and the Bible says don't get connected to the world. And the word drunkenness, that's another problem we deal with. Just people that are in addictions. Now we say drunkenness, y'all thinking about Jack Daniels. Drunkenness is anything that for you is an addiction that takes you from one feeling to another. And now you're addicted to have that. And it doesn't have to be Jack Daniels. It could be from your doctor's office that you've gotten yourself in a place that you're not thinking clearly because you keep yourself medicated. The word is addicted. And then worldly worries and cases, not cares, I'm reading out of the Amplified, worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life. That's not bad stuff. It's just when all you think about is what's in this life. I think about the people that are sick right now and how much time that obligates our brain to think about fighting cancer, fighting a disease. But it could be anything. It could be your job. It could be your finances. It could be your children, whatever the issue is. And we get bogged down that we begin to lose the connection and we're not praying. Amen? So here's what I'm saying. Jesus tells the 12, he tells the 18, you better take heed of yourself. You better get some prayer working for yourself. You might want to get up in the morning and put yourself on the altar instead of your husband or your wife or your children. You might want to step up yourself. On Wednesday nights, we have a prophetic prayer meeting here from 6:30 to 7:30. Y'all want to come be a join part of that? Great. Come on. We have a short word, then we're going to pray. And one of the things we pray is the first we pray for is us. Before we're trying to get another church blessed or someone saved, we're going to pray for ourselves. We're going to make sure that we're right. We're going to make sure that our repentance is working. Amen? That we're walking with the Lord. You just need to get that. Now, here's what he says. He says, lest that day come on you suddenly like a trap or a noose. He's talking to his boys about the end of time coming and said that could hit you like a noose. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but noose is pertaining to dying, not living. I want to be going up, not hanging out here. I don't want to be living my life when Jesus is coming on what I did 5 years ago. Who cares? I used to. We don't care. Yeah, but you need to know what I used to be. I don't care. I'd rather not like to know who you are. I don't care who you were, good or bad. If you were bad, I can't go back and make that right. If you were good, you ain't getting a merit badge for it. Ooh, I was going to talk about Boy Scouts. I better not. Just sad what's going on in our world. And we dedicating babies. I'm just saying, we dedicating babies. And I'm beginning to understand when the Bible says you need to rejoice when someone dies and weep when someone's born. I never knew that. It made me think, well, God, you're just off. You're off a little bit here. We have a baby. We all giddy about it. We all excited about it. Someone dies, we're all weeping over it. And he says it's just the opposite. I've never seen the spin on it until today's life that we're living. That this baby's coming on. You talk about needing an anointing in his life. Mamas and daddies and grandmas and granddads and family members of a church praying for somebody. I'm just saying, our kids need it. Amen? So anyway, he just says here, he says, pray for yourself. Take care of yourself. Make sure that you're repentant. Make sure your heart's right. Make sure things are going the way they're supposed to be going. Number two, well, I'll give you a truth here. I wrote this in as it may be a little axiom of truth. I think it is that every spiritual exercise starts with a discipline or a duty. And then it becomes an enjoyment. I would pray, but I don't feel like it. None of us did when we started. I would fast, but I don't like fasting. Listen, I'm going to help y'all right now. If I could live in the Old Testament when it comes to fasting and redeem fasting with money, I'd buy my way out. In the Old Testament, y'all remember the Old Testament? If you didn't have a sacrifice or you didn't want to give your firstborn lamb, you could buy it. You give God the money and take your lamb back. It's called redeeming it. I'm just saying, I would redeem fasting. Jesus, I tell you what, I'll give you an extra $100 a month if I don't have to fast every Wednesday. I'm just saying, I'll give you something, but you can't buy it back. You've got to learn how to pray and you've got to learn how to fast. And there are disciplines and there are duties when you begin, but they become an enjoyment. But if you never make them a discipline or a duty, you'll never have it in your life. So when someone says, I pray and I don't have a problem with it, I'm telling you right now, it takes time to get a time to pray. That's why we give you at least Wednesday to pray and to fast. Set aside a time that you're going to pray and seek God. You've got to do it. It's going to be hard, but you just do it. Very quickly, you need to pray for others. You need to pray for others. In Galatians 5:6, the latter part of that, it talks about faith works by love. If you love people, you're going to pray for them in faith. Every Wednesday night, we face, now this is not magnetic north, but it's what we use. We face north and south and east and west. When we do, we pray according to Isaiah 43, 5 through 7, which says, spirits of the north, give them back. I don't know if y'all got anybody living in Waverly. You got someone living up in Birmingham. You got someone in Memphis, Tennessee. But we face to the north and we call them home. God says, you call my babies home. You call my children home. You may be living on the north side of town. We've been calling your name. I may not have said David, but somebody's praying for David. We face the south and we pray for everything south. Not a whole lot. You get down south. I mean, you're about running out. when you get down to the panhandle and you're getting down to Pensacola. But we aim south and we pray for everybody. We go to the east and we go to the west and we call them home. Can I help you right now? I told one of the ladies in the church that her son, for us, was east of us. And when we face east, we call his name. Really, I guess he's kind of southeast. But we call his name. Amen. Well, why are you doing that? Because we're going to pray for other people. And the best place you can activate your faith is not getting a miracle of healing, but getting a miracle of salvation. Amen? I'd rather be going to heaven with a cancer than to be living on the earth for the devil and nothing wrong and money in my pocket. I'd rather be broke, busted, and with both legs gone and serving Jesus than having everything and lose heaven. Just get your perspective right. So you got to pray for others. Now, the other thing on praying for others, you need to assume. How many of you have been taught not to ever assume? I won't tell you what they say, Tim, but there's a word, you know, they got a little, I won't go there. My wife says, thank you. She didn't want me cussing up in church. But I'm just saying that if you assume things, can I help you right now? You need to have some assumptions about the kingdom of God. I want you to assume from now on that it's God's will to heal everybody. Oh, I'm not talking about who died last week. I don't know about that. I've got to assume it's His will because stripes on His back. It's not based on why they lived or died. It's based on what He did. I have to assume it's His will to save everybody. I can't look at someone that is a total God loser and say God can't help them and they're too lost. And I've got to assume that God is able to save to the uttermost. I've got to assume that there's no darkness to Him, that when He shows up in a bar, everything is light. I have to assume that.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You need to get your assumption working. Assume your babies are coming home. Assume the healing of the body. Assume the Word of God is the truth. Amen.
Yes.
I'd rather make that assumption and miss it than just not believe it at all. Amen. And I'm helping some of y'all that say, well, I don't have the faith. Then assume it. Just assume it's going to happen. Paul was the master of assumption. He said this in, I think it's Acts 26 maybe, 26 or 27, I think 26. He said to Felix, he said, I think myself happy. I'm in prison, I'm in jail, but I assume I'm all right. I think myself happy. Some of y'all been thinking yourself sick and thinking yourself mad and thinking yourself crippled and thinking, yeah, and you are. You are all of that. You are a mad cripple. You need to start assuming that God's going to heal you and deliver you. Amen. Get your assumption working. Let's move on. The third thing you need to do is you need to pray to be a powerful witness. I want to deal with this just a little bit. You need to pray to be a powerful witness. This is something else some of us in leadership have talked about. We want the gifts of the Spirit to operate in our church. I'm just saying, I want prophetic word. Matter of fact, when we pray on Wednesday night, I'm praying over people, loosen them in prophetic word. Just praying, God, use them in prophetic word. I want to hear tongues and interpretation in our services. I want to see people healed. I want to see them delivered. I want you to believe in healings without the gift of healing. I want you to believe in healing because Jesus heals. Amen? You can depend on the gifts as you want to, but that's a whole lot of baggage to unpack to get to that healing. If you just assume Jesus is going to heal them, there you go. Amen? So for some of y'all to say, well, healing's not my gift. It's not mine either. Jesus is a healer.
Amen.
Now, if you got the gift of healing, hallelujah. I don't need the gift of tongues, praying tongues. I've got the Holy Ghost. Now, if I have that gift operating, that's good. You get some good out of it because if I speak in tongues, someone will interpret it. But look at me. Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody, I'm going to use some double negatives, so y'all just bear with my culture. Ain't nobody going to do nothing. Ain't nobody going to do nothing except those that want to. And the rest of you going to sit around and just look like you look and show up at church. I want a little bit more out of this than that. So I'm just letting y'all know when I come up in here, I'm looking for God to show up. I want Him to step down into this room. I want Him to do something. Go ahead and give the Lord a clap offering. Quiet people, dead people. Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna quit being dead too. You're gonna break out your clap. Real quick, I want you to look at this, and then I'm gonna show you a video and I'm gonna get out of the way and hush. I think. That could be a lie. Look in Acts chapter 1, if you don't mind. Look in Acts chapter 1 very quickly here, look in verse number 8. And you shall receive power. And you shall receive power. Say, I will receive power. Okay, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be, here's your key word, witnesses to me. Witnesses doesn't mean I'm out preaching. Witness means I am proving. In other words, it's who I be. It's telling my story. And the Bible says this, the power of the Holy Spirit's going to come on you so you can tell your story. Hallelujah. Man, the anointing is in this room right now. And God, when I said tell your story, you got to thinking how you got saved. Can I tell you why? Because you started stirring it up. Because we're talking about it, and the Holy Ghost says you've got something to say. Amen? And your spirit of fear had to shut up and listen. And you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the entire earth. But look at number 4, verse number 4. He says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart. Now watch this, not to depart, circle depart, because that means physically leave. I don't want you to depart from Jerusalem, don't physically leave, but I want you to wait, circle the word wait, for the promise of the Father. Let me show you what waiting isn't. Here's what he said. I want you to not depart. I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Amen? But I want you to wait. I want you to stay in Jerusalem because you can't leave here and be a witness without the power. But I want you to wait. Do you see the different posture? They both in Jerusalem. They're both in the upper room. One of them is just physically being there, but the other one is what I'm doing. I am seeking God. I'm asking Him for the power that He said I would get that's in the gift and the promise of the Father. And I'm going to tell you something else, baby. That's the first time that the disciples prayed. Oh, I know I got theologians. You thumbing your pages right now. No, they prayed before. They prayed in the garden. No, they slept in the garden. When did they pray? They didn't pray. They were all the time watching Jesus pray, asking Him to teach them to pray. He threw a prayer at them, and they got it after He left. Amen? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm helping y'all right now. The first time they pray is in the 14th chapter of 14th verse of the first chapter, and said when He left and they stayed in Jerusalem in Acts 1:14, it said they began to pray. They began to talk to God. The 11 finally got in a place that they could pray without Jesus having to do it for them. You're not going to have a move of the Spirit unless somebody prays. Someone's got to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. Jesus said, stay, wait, and receive. What did they do? They stayed, they prayed, and they received. And that's still the order today. It's still the order today. Let me give you one more quick thought here, and then we're going to show a video. Are y'all still okay?
Yes.
How much time? Man, I've been 45 minutes. That's 3 of y'all's hands. Okay. Well, quit nodding, Brandon. Let me tell you something. I'm going to go 7 innings if I want to. Because I hadn't struck out yet. Okay. Look in chapter 4. Look in chapter 4, and I'm going to be done with this. On praying for the Spirit. I want you to look at the church. Now, if I did Pentecost, y'all gonna blow me off and say, well, you're charismatic. Of course you believe in Pentecost. All right. Let's just look at the church. Move into the 4th chapter. Go down to verse number 29. And by the way, while you're going there, just hindsight thought as we pass by chapter 3. You did notice in chapter 1 they prayed. You notice in chapter 2 they got filled with the Spirit. You notice in chapter 3 Peter and John went by the gate called Beautiful, and there was a guy out there that got healed. Can I tell you right now, they weren't praying about him getting healed. They'd already prayed. And they were going to pray again. And as they were in the motion of prayer, someone got healed. Can I help you right now? There are people around you that are going to get healed because you're praying. Because you pray, you're going to walk by them. There's an anointing. Can I tell you something else? Peter never thought his shadow would hurt or help anybody. But if you read the fifth chapter, it said people lined up in the streets that his shadow might be cast on them when he walked by. One translation says not just the physical reflection from sun or shadow from sun over a body to the ground as we see the shadows up here, but it was the presence of God that was around him. There was something that was physically around him. There was a manifestation of glory around him. What if that glory worked in us and we walking through the Walmart by somebody that's in one of those motorized things and they jump up? Well, that could never happen to me. Assume it will. All right. Just saying. It's in here. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray for the power. Listen to the prayer, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that we with, look at these words, all boldness, that your servants with all boldness, they may speak your word. Now, listen to me. Boldness isn't being loud. What I'm doing this morning is just being loud because Mike Wright's loud. I'm one of God's loud kids. Some of y'all aren't. That's okay. I just happen to be one of them that is. So I'm just saying this. Boldness isn't how loud you speak. And boldness isn't standing down at Toomer's Corner, whichever way it is. It's not standing down at Toomer's Corner preaching on the corner. I've done that before too. I've been to the bars and witnessed there. It's about telling your story. But listen to what boldness is. By being able to speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place they were assembled there together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? Okay, what is boldness? Signs and wonders and healings. Let me speak with boldness by. Are y'all seeing what it is? Boldness isn't loud and raunchy. Boldness is by. Boldness is by healing, signs, and wonders. When I speak the word, I should believe that there are signs and wonders working with it. Okay? Book of Mark, chapter 16. And these signs are going to follow those that believe. Signs are going to do what? Follow those that believe. Not those that holler louder than somebody else, but those that believe. Amen? So we need to learn to pray. We need to pray like they prayed. We want to speak with boldness. And I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about beating my Bible and telling people they're going to hell. I'm talking about something of boldness is His presence doing something supernatural as we just share our story. Real quick, we got a video. If y'all just bear with me, I may not play it all. I may jump up in the middle of it. There was a revival back in 1949 that broke out. We may just play the first 2 minutes. It broke out in 1949 in the Hebrides of Scotland. Now, they are the islands off of Scotland. There was a preacher. His name was Duncan Campbell, one of the great preachers of that century. Duncan Campbell was preaching in a huge convention of several thousand people in London. And this was going to be on the last service, on a morning service, and he was speaking to the largest crowd. And Duncan leaned over to one of his associates and said, "I can't preach today." That's where I want to leave you. Because he went someplace and God stepped down. Can we play that? Let's dim these lights a little bit. Maybe we'll play the first part of it, and if I interrupt it back there, Dana, just bear with me. You can go ahead and start.
Back in 1949, revival broke out and began to spread across several areas of the Hebrides. This outpouring had arrived after a prolonged period of intercession, for there had been great concern that the church seemed powerless to hold young people, and that general indifference towards the gospel message was common. In response, Christians were encouraged to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And on the island of Lewis, two old ladies, one blind and the other crippled with arthritis, began to press into God. The disabilities of Christine and Peggy Smith meant that they could not attend the church, but they could be in God's presence at home and in intercessory prayer. After some time, these two old ladies knew that God was going to send Duncan Campbell to Lewis and that revival would come. With this word from God, an invitation was sent to Campbell, but it was refused, and the two sisters were told that he would not be coming. In boldness, they declared, "That's what man says. God has said otherwise. He shall be here within a fortnight." And he was. Duncan came to preach for 10 days, but when God moved, he stayed for over 2 years.
When God stepped out, suddenly, men and women all over the parish were gripped by the fear of God. God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? The moment that that happened in the bar, a power was let loose in Barbas that shook the whole of Lewis. God stepped out. The Holy Spirit began to move among the people.
We can see the rest of that maybe another week if you want to. I want you to get this picture. Duncan Campbell said, "I'm not going." Twice they sent for him. Twice those old ladies, 184, 182, one blind, one crippled with arthritis, got the word, "He's not coming." And they said, "That's what man says. God told us he's coming." That morning, he was moved by the Spirit of God. And he told the man next to him, "I can't preach here today. I've got to go to the Ebertines." And he got on a boat and sailed from England over to Aberdeen. When he got there, a man met him. Didn't know he was coming, met him and said, "I've been waiting on you to get here. It's time for tea. It's 4 p.m, but after tea, we're going to go and you're going to preach. We're already set up." They didn't have the advertisement. They weren't people saying, "We got a TV advertisement going. We're going to promote a revival." They were people praying. Two old ladies, 84 and 82 years old, praying for revival. And Duncan showed up. The first night he preached, the house was full. And when he got done preaching, one of the guys was in the middle of the floor, and he was saying, "The mercy of God, the mercy of God." And he said, "Lord, send revival." They were praying for God to do something. He went outside. When he got outside, the front lawn was full of young people. Full of young people, and young people had quit church. Full of young people that all left a dance. They were all at a dance. They left because the Spirit of the Lord began to move on them, and somebody told them in that group, "We need to go over to that church." They showed up on the church lawn, and so Duncan begins to preach there, and they stayed till 4 o'clock in the morning. Not about people falling down and shaking. That's all good. It was about a city being changed and souls being saved because somebody prayed. Somebody believed for the supernatural. And they weren't young people. I get tired of it. I'm too old to do anything. 84 and 82. That refused no. That's what man says and what God says. That story, we could play some more of it, but it goes on to tell about people being healed and delivered and set free. It was because somebody prayed. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would, this morning. The most effective church in the New Testament, by most theologians, was not the church in Jerusalem where James was. Now, they think it is because anybody who went someplace had to go there. How many of you know that Paul didn't go to Jerusalem first? Paul didn't go to Jerusalem. Matter of fact, he was 3 years away from it. He was probably 14 years before he even got back. I mean, he was at least three, but could have been as much as 14 before he ever went there. And he went to Jerusalem to go in front of James and the rest of the disciples to talk to them. They think the most effective church was the one in Antioch, because Acts 13 said they prayed and they fasted. You tag fasting onto prayer. And they heard from God and they sent out ministers. They were steady, affecting the world, because they prayed and they fasted and they heard God's voice. I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads for just a moment. We'll take an offering up after we have this altar call right now. But if you're here standing with us and your cry is in your heart, I need to start with me. And when I look at me, I'm far from God. I'm not where I need to be. Listen closely to what I'm saying. I'm not where I need to be. And I'm going to tell you something else. This isn't going to take you figuring this out. The Spirit of God's in this room. He's speaking to hearts. He's already letting you know where you are. So no one has to explain it to you. He's letting you know. My responsibility is to agree with you, if any two agree. To keep other people from getting involved, we keep our eyes closed. This is you and God. I'm involved simply to pray with you. If you're here and you say, Pastor Mike, I have never lived for God, or I did, but I'm far from Him. I'm not where I need to be. Then I want you to raise your hand, then you put it right back down. Okay? Anyone else? Thank you. Anybody else? Grab the person's hand next to you. If you can find somebody close by, get their hand. Hallelujah. Now, some hands went up this morning. You don't have to know who they are. But they're not going to leave here like they came in. They're the ones that God saw. They're the ones that He told me this morning around 5 o'clock when I was sitting in my study chair. And He said, there will be people there that will hear my word. I want us all to pray a prayer. Say, Father God, I pray for me first. I ask you to forgive me of shortcomings and sin and neglect. Forgive me of a derelict duty, just not fulfilling what you've called me to do. I ask you to forgive me now. I thank you that your mercy was waiting on me, and I receive it now. And I'll never be the same. Never, ever, ever. In Jesus' name, I will be a witness and tell my story. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Hallelujah. Be seated just a minute. I know we're pressing time. We're going to take our offering up today. We do have one check. Valerie, I believe there's going to be some other support that's going to be coming along, but we do have a support check for Valerie. Oh, there you are. That I want you to come and get this morning as an installment. Also, we have a list, and we're going to have to get with Valerie. We have a list of things she needs, but we just need a little bit of explanation. And if you guys don't mind, next Sunday, we're going to ask you to pick up some of those items. They're simple items like wipes and different things the kids are going to need for her summer camp this summer. Be easy to go to Walmart or someplace and pick them up. We'll do that next Sunday, and then if you can bring them back, we'll come pick them up so she can have them for Monday, okay? Valerie, won't you come up? Let me just give you a check and just let you know that we are proud to be able to sow into the ministry. We're not done sowing. She's going to need volunteers and help, but we love you so much and so proud of you. What a blessing. She's a missionary, Sonny. She doesn't know it. You're a missionary for real? You am for real. Hallelujah. How many of you know we're supporting the missionaries? I got a rock star missionary over there, too. That's right. All right, we're going to give this morning. I want you to get your check or your cash ready, however you're going to give. I want you to get an envelope. If you have an envelope, put it in that. If you don't want to use an envelope, that's going to be entirely up to you. But if you use an envelope, I want you to get it in your hand or get your offering, your tithe. If you tithe once a month and today's not your day to tithe, you can just hold up an envelope or just hold up your hand, but we're going to bless it this morning. Amen? I want you to speak over it. Say, Father God, I thank you for tithe and offering. I had rather live on 90% sanctified money than 100% unholy. Today, I sanctify my finances and my home in Jesus' name. And I am blessed going in, coming out. You open the windows of heaven. You pour me out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive. And the devil, the thief, is rebuked by my advocate, Jesus Christ, for my faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes,
listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.